And we welcome you inside another edition of the Hoopball Sacramento Kings podcast. My name is Sam Cementi, alongside, as always, the incomparable, the all-knowing Jill Adge. On this Wednesday episode, we're halfway through the week. I'm excited for the weekend. I'm excited for Kings basketball on Friday back in Sactown. I'll be at the game, the debut of the new uniforms. Perfect time to go to a game, I'd say. And we're going to talk about in this episode the Pistons win on Monday, the game tonight against Minnesota, the last game of the road trip in Minneapolis, and then preview our Friday show. But we'll start out with the Pistons. Jill, Kings snapped the four-game losing streak. Glory to God. They won 129-107. They beat a shit team pretty easily, too. And we also got to see Marvin Bagley for extended minutes. Coincidence? I think not.
It's hard for me to think it's a coincidence when literally both teams took their two players that have been vocal about not being happy with minutes. And for the Pistons, you had Diallo, who signed as a free agent there. He was traded from OKC to the Pistons last year, got a lot of run with them to end the season, played really well with them, and then signed a 2-year deal with them. And now he's riding the bench, right? And so he's been unhappy. And there was a segment at the game, I think 2 weeks ago, where he didn't refuse to go in the game. Like, he went in and played, but he verbally, gave his frustration on the bench. Right. And the general manager, Troy Weaver, came up and got him from the bench, and they went into the tunnel and had a discussion or whatever. They both said there wasn't any big deal, but I think it was that's me expressing right. I'm not happy. And people in Detroit, didn't seem that shocked by it, 'cause it's a young guy who just signed his contract, and he's he's pissed. He could have signed probably somewhere else, maybe, and who knows what was promised, right? But again, at the end of the day, you gotta work what you earn, right?
Y'all is 23, young.
And so he's been on two bad teams, right? And so he hadn't played since the very beginning of November, since that, and all of a sudden he plays. So I don't buy that. They've gotten blown out in the last 2 weeks where he would have had ample opportunity to go into any of those games and didn't. And now he came in on this game. So I thought it was interesting that the both guys came in.
Very interesting.
Until I'm shown otherwise, I have no reason not to think it was anything other than a showcase. Now, if they're going to go play these guys regularly, then okay, maybe, maybe not. But in terms of both of them having their first game played against each other when they both have been linked to each other,
And then the third,
they're going to have to prove to me it wasn't, that.
Yeah.
So
the third piece of that too, which is more of us than actual rumors, but Jeremy Grant, who a lot of Kings fans would say they would like in return, in some sort of return, if they were to trade Bagley to Detroit, he did not play well.
He had a really
rough game, 3 of 10, 7 points, same amount of points that Marvin Bagley had. So, yeah, it was just a weird game. And with those sub stories happening with Bagley suddenly playing almost 20 minutes, then, yeah, Diallo, a talented, freakishly athletic. He was in the dunk contest, was he not, with OKC?
He did.
I don't think he won. I don't usually pay attention to the dunk contest.
He did guys. I think he dunked over Shaq. He did the whole Superman thing.
Classic.
And then brought him out. The coach is going to not tell you it's a showcase. They're going to say, we wanted the height for the rebounding. Well, I know he was rusty, but he got you 3 rebounds in 17 minutes. So, if that's what you were bringing it in for, that's not what you saw. So again, we got to see, we'll continue to watch to see what happens, but
yeah, if he plays tonight,
you can't sell me that's what it was. And then it didn't happen.
If he plays tonight again, then I'm starting to get a little bit of a different opinion, but I don't expect him to play tonight. Marvin Bagley, he was +8, for the numbers people out there, for you, Jill, he was in positive. I think most of the team were positive in this game. All the starters plus Buddy Hield off the bench, were in double-digit scoring. Chimezie Metu had a double-double, 16 points, 10 rebounds, I believe, furthering my case for why he should be the starting power forward and will be the starting power forward going forth. And then Terrence Davis, Mo Harkless, Jill. I don't know if Mo Harkless is still kind of not feeling 100%, but Terrence Davis is in the doghouse completely. and Mo Harkless supposedly seemingly is as well. Neither of them played in this game.
Yeah, I know they had said before that Harkless was going through some sort of illness or something. But I mean, again, like, it's hard to know. You never really get, a full story with this group. And if they were going length in a showcase, then you're not going to put Harkless in. You're going to put Bagley in, right? So again, like, until we see this stuff extended, this was a first time for Mo, but this isn't the first time we've seen for Terrence Davis being
right.
Out.
The bummer.
And if, Luke's doing what Luke's doing, if we're to believe to try and keep his job, I don't know. I think anything's possible at this point, if that's really true or not. Who knows?
Listen, it's obviously hindsight's 20/20. So it's always easy to look back and question it. But as I'm looking back at it now, I wish the Kings had just kept DeLon Wright on the roster and then let Davis go and just use the money there, paying DeLon Wright, because he was already under contract. He was on the team. Terrence Davis, of course, was a restricted free agent. They chose for Davis
to come
back.
Had they not known they were going to get Holmes, I'd 100% agree. But I still think that there could have been better people out there than TD.
Or than that's well. So it's TD was pretty cheap.
But at that time, what's interesting to me is that same time, they also thought they were getting the Buddy Hield trade with Montrezl Harrell. And so that necessarily wouldn't have really fit with. I mean, that would have been your Thompson replacement, right? Like, you would have been having Trez out there. So
I would have
there's
loved
just
that.
So many, like, I know. And
working for the Wizards. Yeah, there you go.
Between the coach I wanted and the trade
players
wanted,
we were supposed to get.
I mean, it's just double whammy. So,
yeah.
Kudos to them. We'll see if it stays. But
hey, in the East,
they're playing well on both ends of the court. So
in the East, you can win 37 games and you'd be in the playoffs.
Yeah. But what I do think is interesting based on the numbers, looking at,
yes, please.
Cleaning the glass, when for the stat wise, the expected, based on the numbers that the Kings have put up, their expected, record is 7-7. So, I mean, they're not far off that at this point. So, I mean,
6-8 right now, Yeah.
We'll see how it keeps going, but, at least based on the stats they're putting up, they're kind of right where
they should be.
It assumes that they would be. Yeah.
Stats don't lie. And speaking of more stats, just looking at this game again, you're playing Detroit. It's hard to really take anything too seriously from this game. But they shot well from three and then didn't shoot. Like they're shooting Jaeger level amount of threes. Like how many they would do when Jaeger was the coach, which was between 25 and 30, they had 33 attempts, made 16 of them. That's almost 50%. That's great. 11 steals. That was, I don't know. It's got to be up there in terms of season high for steals. Cause I feel like they haven't been very good with steals. Julie, I could be wrong there on the defensive
end. Yeah, I'll look, but the other thing I was going to say about that is at these current numbers, with their expected win right now, an 82 game season is 40.9. So with these current numbers that we've all kind of been, hot and cold over, that's their expected. And with the roster that we also feel is depleted. So again, if you could, keep climbing and, make some moves, that can go up.
Bring us Lewis King. Bring us the King. Bagley's performance, though, obviously we touched on it. Do you think he did anything to impress Detroit, really? Well, he had the alley-oop dunk. That was pretty clean. But I didn't see him do anything.
I don't think so. I think you kind of know what you're getting at this point.
He was rusty, right? Obviously.
Yeah, I mean, and he didn't do anything different than what, like, he didn't, it's not like, oh my gosh, look at assist numbers went up. Oh my gosh, look at this. Yeah. Like, I didn't see anything different.
Better,
you know what I mean? Like, you're not getting different. What'd you say?
Sorry, I said the pace seemed like it was better.
Oh, no. I meant him individually.
Right.
Like,
no, I'm saying
you're not
going
to, like, you're not going to, like, he's not doing things that, like, he different than what we've already seen for 2 years. Like, individually, I'm talking about, like, for development wise, anything like that. Like, I'm not coming in expecting him to be
suddenly have a right hand,
a different player, have a right hand, like,
play
pass
defense.
The ball around. Like, I don't know. Someone did something on, like, his thing on every time he caught the ball, like, did it move or pass? And it was like, he passed it to someone and got passed right back. Like that was the extent of like the, so, I mean, it's, you're getting what you're getting, you know what you're getting. It's not, I mean, so in that sense, like, I don't think Detroit would have seen anything that they didn't already.
True.
No. So again, I mean, we'll see if he plays tonight. I don't know, but Minnesota is a taller team. So,
and they have a lot of length
in some areas. I mean, Vanderbilt's no joke. Towns is no joke. Nas Reed's no joke. McDaniels. I mean, so.
Yeah. And it's
like, I don't want to see Tristan Thompson going out there against Vanderbilt. Like, sorry. I mean, I'm going to be mad if he keeps throwing that out there. Cause this seems like at least a Len or a Jones game. Like, I mean, if Thompson, I will not be happy if he's throwing Tristan Thompson out there against the Wolves. Sorry.
Thompson made sense against Trey Lyles and then Isaiah Stewart. Those are guys, centers that are thick in like 6'10", 6'9", which that's about how tall Thompson is. So that matchup made sense. But yeah, Vanderbilt, McDaniels, Reed, those guys are like a little taller and lengthier and bouncier. I mean, they're Bagley
built, so
kind of. So
or Len. So, I mean, again, like, it's
true. Or Len.
I want to see some size.
So. The pace was fantastic, though. I did say that already.
Because we haven't seen Len the last couple games, like,
we
at all.
Haven't. We
so
haven't.
That's why I'm like, to me, he's been putting Thompson in over Len. Like, that's where. So, I mean, maybe he'll go Bagley over Len, but I don't know. I don't know. I doubt it, but I don't know.
No, yeah.
I mean,
I don't know with Len. I don't know what his concept is with him. It seems to be the bigger guys.
It's hard to know at this point. Like,
go Bears on the court.
It changes.
Yeah, you put Len.
So,
Detroit missed a lot of shots. So the Kings were able to run and gun a little bit more, and that's not going to happen every game, of course, where teams going to shoot so poorly like Detroit did. But I do wish the Kings would just try and do that more often, because they're so much better a team when they, even if they're taking it out of the basket, you know, taking it off a made shot and pushing it. They have guys that can run. They have good passers. I mean, Metu has shown to be a pretty viable guy in passing the ball and facilitating, which is
and he surprising. Has been since the G League. I think that's such an underrated part of his game. Mm-hmm.
Smart
I
player.
Mean, in the Olympics, he was making behind the back passes. Like, I mean, it's we see it, but like, it's almost like we don't believe it, and then we keep seeing it. So it's like, it very well should continue to be thing. And one thing I love is when he gets a rebound, his head, like, he's already looking up, like, to go out. And you saw multiple transition plays off of a rebound that he got, or he was, you know, breaking. And so I want to keep seeing more of that, because that's the stuff, right, where, I mean, you've seen Walton yell at them, like, go, run. And so I do like that he's not stopping and looking around. Like, he's at least being smart while, like, looking up. And if it's not there, then he passes it to, you know.
Him and Tyrese on the court together is just, and Rashawn, those guys are just always go, you know, 110% every moment. And that's what makes it so much fun. That's, I guess, my biggest pet peeve with Mo Harkless was smart player, but like, didn't excite me in anything. Nothing about Mo Harkless excites me.
That's never going to. I mean, even on the Pistons team, I mean, on the Blazers team, like, it's funny seeing their fans now still like pissed that he's gone, because he was part of that Western Conference team.
Right.
And he, like I told you, he reminds me of that Royce O'Neal. Where Royce O'Neal is, I think he's averaging like 8 this season, but his average is like 4 normally, like 4 points a game. Like, it's not there, but he plays an integral part of allowing, you know, that offense to work while playing defense. And he's not flashy and it's not going to be great, but on a good team, like
the Blazers of that year.
You know, it keeps the wheels moving, right?
Sure.
And like on the Blazers, you have CJ and Dame. You don't need him to do anything else. Like, he's out there to take so that they're not having to necessarily kind of bust their ass on defense, right? Like, he was able to take over some of those guarding stuff for them. And so great team, like, it's not going to be flashy and it's not going to be fun, right? And so, but why it kind of worked last year off the bench, right? Like, that he worked well in defense off the bench. And so again, like, as you know, I love Metu and stuff too, but I also know, like, we've seen him thrive off our bench before too, that I still think that the status quo needs to be, you know, isn't there, and it still needs to, you know, no discredit to Metu, but the team still does need more talent. Like,
I mean, yeah. point. Yeah, Metru's not the answer to all the problems.
But I love for him, like, he has stepped in, regardless if you're playing good teams or bad, he has stepped in and done exactly what you've asked of him. And that's all that that kid can do, right? Mm-hmm. And so kudos to him for being ready, staying ready, and producing when you're out there. That's all you can do as a player. And so will it continue? I mean, I hope so, but.
Yeah, no, don't we all? It's a testament to the power of development and being patient and going through the G League like he did. He was a second round pick by the Spurs out of USC. Very developmental, very raw. And then, of course,
and they loved his athleticism.
Right. The Nigerian national team, which you've touched on over the summer, he was huge on that team. And so, you know, hard work pays off. Being patient pays off. He's still only 24 years old, but it took him a little bit, which is the same you could expect for guys, current second round picks of the Kings, Ramsey, Woodard. Those guys, Ramsey's 20 years old. He is so young. And
he was the second youngest player in the draft last year.
Young.
Yeah.
Extremely talented as a scorer. I still think he needs to, obviously, I like that he's up with the team, but I've talked about all these, you know, between King and Woodard and who's going down to G League, he should be in the G League running quite a bit because that's the guy that needs the most experience, most seasoning.
Yeah.
And he could be then a very good player off the bench.
And Woodard's not taking advantage of
his
G League right now. Poor guy. Like, I don't know what's going on. Honestly, I have no idea what's going on with that.
Kings supplanted him. I thought
he would be better than it was, but you never know with any picker with second round. Like,
we just talk about patience. Yeah. He's still young.
But at some point with this team too, they have to figure out, there is a certain point where you can say, okay, it's not working. And if you can utilize that roster spot, like, you know, to me, if
it's
you're
not
looking
it
like
much, if anything,
it's yeah. So I do hope that he figures out whatever is going on, but and then King, I guess we found out why he's not up here. Like when we all thought, not that they ever announced it, but he's, you know, we had talked about this last time. He had hurt himself a couple games ago. And so he's still out. But yeah, I mean, it's nice to see them, you know, at least get those minutes where they weren't getting last year. So that's huge. But I mean, you look at a guy like on the Warriors too, right? Gary Payton the second. Cause there's a Gary Payton Jr. and a Gary Payton the second. I don't know if you knew that. So it's like, he is, but just go Google it. There's like a whole rabbit
now
hole.
I'm confused.
There are two of them.
Okay.
That was my reaction too.
Yeah.
I went down the whole rabbit hole and it totally confused me. And I was like, wait, he has two sons named that? Like what? I don't know.
No, I'll do my own research on that.
They specified, make sure you say Gary Payton the second, not junior I don't know. So Gary Payton the second, but he spent like 8 years, right? Going through the G League and doing all that. And you know what I mean? Taking advantage of his opportunity. So to me, I never count anybody out. Like, that's the thing. That's what I love about this. Like it works in some places. It doesn't in others, and take advantage, you know, when it's given to you. And it's awesome to see for these guys that have put in such hard work for it to, you know, to see something. And you know what I mean? Like I put this up, extremely small sample size. Right. And what is it two games that he's started now?
Two or three
against two bad teams. Right. But regardless of who you're playing, do your job. Right. And so in the small sample size with Metu starting with them, their offensive rating is 111.9 and their defensive rating is 89.8. So again, just continue to do what you're doing. And I mean, again, I'll say this small sample size because with Harkless at the beginning of the year, they had the same defensive rating, right? Like that lineup.
How was their offensive
him,
rating though? Lower.
It wasn't as high, but it wasn't like, it still wasn't
bad. Yeah.
I mean, it was maybe like 108, 109 or something like that. Not much different. But again, like regardless of who you're playing, just do what you're supposed to do. And right, it was small sample size and then they were having trouble and they needed a spark. They needed these things. You went to somebody else. They did their job the last two games, exactly what they were supposed to do. So again, whoever's called upon, hopefully just keep doing.
Do your part.
What's
do your
being
job.
Asked. And that's all we can.
Kata has been playing really well as well in the G League. We haven't mentioned him, but He looks good. He's very versatile for a big
man.
Did
you see that one steal and dunky hat where he literally stole and then he like took control of the ball? I mean, just after half court, it was one dribble and then he dunked it. Like it took him 7-1 dribble to get like in that whole half court set. Like, I mean, that's a big man.
Yeah. Talk about someone that's very raw, but very talented and tantalizing with what he can do. He put up huge numbers in a small conference in college, at a small college, actually. He was at, was he UC Davis? Where's, no, I'm sorry. Where did Kata play?
Utah State.
Utah State. I look at them and I think they look like UC Davis, but I knew that wasn't right. Utah State. Yeah. How many people know anyone from Utah State? I dare you to figure out somebody. Because Kuzma was Utah, I believe. The Utes. But we're going to get to the Minnesota game here in a second. What I wanted to do first, Jill, we've talked about in the past on this podcast as almost like a little spinoff of your Jill's water cooler to try and when we can, when there's something that interests us, we do a today in history, ideally relation towards the Kings. Cause this is a Kings podcast that would make most sense. But every day doesn't always have something of relevance. And today, November 17th did not have anything that I felt was worth sharing about the Kings. Even the Timberwolves, I looked at them and figured, is there anything they did on this date? No. So instead, we're just going to do a very broad, for the first time, a today in history. And this is a today in NBA history. And this one just made me laugh. It was the funniest one of the options. So on this day, 21 years ago, 2000, Jason Kidd, playing for the Phoenix Suns, ties the NBA record for turnovers with 14 in a loss to the New York Knicks, which is kind of funny and shows that not all stats are good stats, of course. Not all records are good ones. But who he tied with creates this whole other like storyline, because he tied with John Drew, who was a small forward for the Atlanta Hawks and the Utah Jazz in the 70s and 80s, who is known for the NBA record in turnovers, obviously tied with Jason Kidd. But then the other thing he's known for, unfortunately, this guy's known for all the wrong things, because he was a good player. He was a two-time All-Star. But he was the first player ever banned from the NBA by David Stern for violating the drug policy that David Stern enacted and created in the 70s. I forget the technical term for it, because Tyreek Evans was banned. Substance abuse policy.
Oh, substance abuse. Yeah.
I was like, I'm missing the word. Substance abuse policy that David Stern created in the 70s. John Drew was the first victim of it. He was addicted. I shouldn't laugh. He was addicted to coke, a very 70s, 80s storyline there. But he was a coke addict, first person to get banned. And like I said, Tyreek Evans was obviously banned most recently in the NBA for his substance abuse issue. But yeah, that's the today in history is Jason Kidd having a crap ton of turnovers and then tying with a guy who will live in NBA infamy forever for not good things.
So
poor John Drew.
That's crazy. Yeah, I do have one for the Kings.
Oh, you do?
But I will say it's because we won't have a podcast on the 11/20 or 11/23.
It's the road losing streak, isn't it?
I can.
I already know it.
And so for people that don't know this or think that this is the worst it's been, let me tell you, for ones of us that have been following for, since the beginning, November 20th, 1990. Okay. So that's right. The start of that's a month into,
that's
a season.
Saturday. So yeah, right? Obviously we won't be on.
Yes. So that season. So this is 2 years. Five years into the Kings' existence. They've already seen the Kings score 4 points in a quarter, the lowest, period of production since the introduction of the shot clock. Like they've had bad things happen, right? But November 20th, 1990, Sacramento Kings won an NBA game on the road. No fans probably thought, hey, great, we won a road game. Well, so this is 11/20, 1990. So we'll fast forward to 3/19, 1991. Kings set an NBA record of 29 consecutive road losses. So we're November to March of 29 consecutive road losses. Hey, now it's April 15th, 1991. Kings set another record. 35th consecutive road loss. So they beat the record of 28 and then continued to beat the record down to the 35th consecutive road loss. So that was the last game of the year. So from 11-20, 1990, they did not, you know, they won that road game. And then the rest of that season, ending in April 15th, 1991, they consecutively lost 35 road games. Okay, now we're going to start the next season. Hey,
do we have to?
Maybe we're going to, you know, maybe we'll turn it around at the beginning. October, no road wins. Start of November, no road wins. Mid-November, no road wins. Now we get to 11-23-1991. Over a full year has passed since the Kings have won a road game. They finally broke that streak, 11-23-1991, after 43 consecutive road losses. Remember, it can get bad.
Never get that
bad. But it's not that bad.
So a year and three days.
For me, when people say, oh my God, how can you do this for the last 15 years? How can you still stay positive? Well, I just remember little six-year-old Jillian, you know, not quite comprehending why their team isn't winning, but not even realizing yet that it's been 43 road losses and, you know, it just being whatever. So just know that for older fans, like, it's been like this for a long time. Yeah.
We haven't felt that pain.
Just the Kings have set plenty of bad records, and unfortunately, they also had a full season of straight no winning.
If you look up, it is hilarious, Joe, because if you look up like on this date in Kings history, and you can do it for any team, of course, the first couple that you can choose from are all horrible. They're all horrible.
Yeah.
And it's the late 80s, early 90s, like you were touching on. The four-point game was 1987, February.
Against the Lakers,
the fewest ever in a 24-second shot clock era, which started in 54.
Yeah.
And then, because I didn't know we can go back a couple days. November 8th, so last week, I don't even know what date it is. Last week, Arco Arena opened 88, excuse me. And they lose 97-75. They get destroyed by this superstar.
I know we kind of went a couple days, but I had to throw that one out there because of that time frame.
It's not
and
the date.
So, and I know, and a lot of people, I know that there are people that haven't looked that stuff up, so they would not know that. I mean, that actually, for anyone that doesn't, you know, go out and
you don't
like,
really
kind of look at that stuff.
Yeah. Word to the wise.
You'd have no idea.
Word to the wise. If you're looking up facts about the Kings history, unless it's like not between great. Like 99 and 2005, it's not good.
It's just don't. Bad.
Yeah. Don't even look at it, because it will make you sad. 43. Consecutive losses.
Yeah. So that's just, just keep that in mind.
Man, rough podcast for
you. Imagine
Kings history, Jason Kidd and John Drew.
Imagine if social media, all that stuff was around back then.
Oh, it would have been, there would have been a running count on some Twitter page would have been invented just highlighting each Kings loss, road loss. And I would have followed it. I think I would have followed.
And there's a reason Maxwell would have created it. When that playoff series against Seattle happened, in the mid-90s, and people still are like, man, like Kings fans stood up, like just, teams are warming up, just basic warming up, and Kings fans are on their feet, like yelling and going crazy because like,
they couldn't believe
was,
it.
Like that was our first experience. Like, I mean, it took 10 years to get there. And then it was there shortly and then went away and then came back for, a stretch. But it's like, it's been, when you really think that this town has only seen 8 seasons of 500 basketball, like that's horrific.
Yeah.
We are very familiar with bad basketball.
That'll be me though. As you mentioned it, when the Kings make it back to the playoffs, just like, I won't know what to do.
Everyone's taking a holiday and going out.
Make sure I'm not dreaming. Because I'll just instinctively think I've dreamt this all. I didn't know we needed to go back and actually, I'm gonna look at it like that.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
learn from the past. And
it's
that 4-game losing streak was tough. Those 9-game losing streaks were tough. They weren't 40-game losing streaks.
They're still bad, but
somehow though, Luke Walton would have stayed as the head coach if they lost 43 consecutive games. I don't know how. A part of me thinks that they would have just kept them on board because the players.
So for the younger ones that wonder how we do it, that's why and how.
Battle tested. But the younger Kings fans also have been pretty well battle tested.
They've never seen anything else.
Yeah, in my time following.
I mean, there are some that have never seen anything.
Jill, yeah. Me. I will raise my hand. I have no idea. I
know, yeah. You're the same age as, my oldest nephew.
Right.
He's a year younger than you. And I took him when he was little to like these playoff games, but he doesn't remember.
Of course not.
Like he has no idea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wish you could remember being there because you were so excited and loved it, but like you didn't and little did we know that would be your only and last.
Yeah.
And it sucks that you can't remember it.
It just sucks being a King fan, but we hang tough and we do it. And, we'll move on.
It makes it that much sweeter when it happens.
Will.
And, yes. And that's why when we talk about those glory years, like it was so much fun and it was fun to watch, but it made it that much sweeter because I mean, you hold on to it, right?
Right. And if you are ever having a tough time, you can go on YouTube and look up Greatest Show on Court highlights. I've done it many a time and it just makes me feel a lot better. I do the same thing with the Raiders. When they piss me off, I go watch like their Super Bowl run year, which I was alive for that too, but it was the same thing. You know, I was like 4. I have no comprehension. I have no recollection of it. So tonight in Minnesota, Jill, the Timberwolves are terrible as well. They're 4-9. They've lost 2 straight. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. Only won 2 games.
I was going to say, and in those, they had what, like a 8-7 game streak during that?
Something like that.
And it was like they had one blowout win against the Lakers and then dropped right back.
The Lakers are a weird team.
And they were up. I watched their last game against the Suns.
Yeah,
and
they lost were by actually 3. Up. It was a close
and
game.
And they fell apart at the end. It was a Canes. Like it was mental mistakes. They were chucking. D'Angelo Russell was chucking threes at the end, like for no, and they were up for no reason.
I've seen that before.
Their own announcers were like, what are you doing? Like, I'm not sure why he's doing that, but Phoenix took advantage of, and that's the thing, right? Like when we talk about the mental mistakes, the things that will cost you with a good team, and Phoenix took advantage of it. Kings need to, you know, come in and
feed off those mistakes that they're giving them. What do you think the Kangs is for the Wolves? You know, like what's their word? Is it, I don't even know what you would do for the Wolves. Wolves.
I know. I was trying to think of
is it add an A and throw in a Z? Is that just all you have to do?
Yeah.
I want to know who invented the Kangs thing. Who started that trend that I just hate it. Anytime I see it, I'm just like instinctively like mad.
I get triggered.
It's a trigger word.
It's a trigger word.
And it upsets you right away.
I can understand for someone who's never had anything other.
I've mostly seen Kangs. Everything's Kangs.
I could understand it. Yeah.
But they're a weird team, Minnesota, because they don't score very much. They think they're 23rd in offensive ranking. But they're a pretty solid defensive team. They're top 10 in steals. I believe they're number 8 in steals or 6. And then they're very good with blocks.
Six in steals. Kings
and
are 24.
Exactly.
And this is where the Kings' mental game needs to be.
Oh, yeah.
They are right. No, like the lazy passes cannot have where they just stand there and
not Beverly,
staring at it and are just like, we see those all the time. And this is a team that will definitely take advantage of it.
And then speaking of the size, they do have a lot of blocks a game with Russell with Towns and Reed and McDaniels, who's got a lot of bounce and hop.
Vanderbilt. They made an adjustment similar to the Kings to their starting lineup, and Vanderbilt has started the last 2 games. So we'll see if they stick with that today as well, but that's so similar to Walton making a change. Chris Finch did as well. So something to
Chris Finch who could have been the Kings coach. I remember the rumors, as I'm sure you do, that the big reason they kept Walton on board was the other coach that they really wanted, that McNair was wanting to bring in, was Chris Finch, who has not yet found any success with Toronto with the Timberwolves. And think it's a Friday's game.
No,
and they have talent.
Drama,
though.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the owner thing for
similar,
the general manager.
Right?
And the owner, I guess they switched owners.
Yeah. And, I think you're seeing how much Rubio, another guy who is kind of just underappreciated, where every team he's gone to, like,
yeah,
he was with the Wolves first, right? And they were, you know, not great, obviously, but that he was one where he was drafted to kind of turn it around, and a lot of lottery picks, it doesn't happen. You get sent off and then you end up being perfectly fine everywhere else. But yeah, he went to a good Jazz team, was able to learn there, went back to the Wolves. And I think he was a good kind of like veteran presence there when they had all their injuries. They still weren't great, but you see now what he's doing to a Cavs team with their injuries, and he's helping keeping them afloat. They're kind of like the Kings. They just don't have someone yet that just has kind of taken control. Like, they put up their numbers, right? They put up their numbers, but it doesn't really
translate.
Hasn't added up to anything.
Sure.
So
tough start too, because that's another organization very similar to the Kings. You know, their glory years were the same years as the Kings. They've been pretty impoverished since they've been in the NBA, since they've been a team.
I think Cap's the only team left from when those guys took over. I think he's the only remaining player now.
We talked about that before the season.
They've completely
the playoff roster, their last playoff roster.
When the new general manager took over, like, they completely they cleaned house. And I've been watching some of their beat writers, and they're saying Sasha Gupta, trade machine guy. Yes, I know. I always just love to call him trade machine. They're saying that they're not sure if the roster even fits his style of what he's looking for now, and that he's kind of been left in this awkward position. So they're very much someone right now that is dealing with issues. And so anytime you could take advantage of of teams going through that stuff. And then again, if you want to make that leap, you need to beat the teams that you're going to have to stay ahead of, you know, for tiebreakers, and just keeping yourself above them record wise. These are the games, like, you know, as we always say, especially in the West, like, these are the teams you need to beat and take care of business. Cause they are the teams, you know, that's what, if you make that jump, they're going to be under you. So
ideally,
yeah, because, you know, they're trying to do the same thing the Kings are, right? They want to be in that same place. And so they're looking at it the same way. This is a team we need to beat, because we need them to be under us if we want to, you know, get in that 8-10, you know, 7-10 range. So
don't overlook them. Anthony Edwards can go off. He's a microwave. So is D'Angelo Russell. Like, they're microwaves. Those are the type of players they are. And then they have Pat Bev, and they have
even Beasley can go off. Yeah.
Easily off
with
the bench,
his outside shot.
Because he doesn't start anymore, I don't think.
I don't.
He hasn't been this year.
No.
Talented team that's stuck in some struggles right now, and stuff that's above their pay grade that they're having to deal with. Stop me if you've heard that before, Jill. And then the Kings after this get to go home, and they get to play four straight at home. I've said it. The NBA has been very consistent in these early going. It's four road games, four home games, four road games. So we're back to a four game homestand, starting with Toronto on Friday. That should be an entertaining game. At least I hope so, because, like I said, I'll be at it. Maybe going to splurge and buy the new Sacktown Uni if I see one for sale at the arena, which I imagine they will be for sale now that they'll be debuting them on Friday. Do we have a key to the game, though, or keys, and how many you want to share for the Minnesota game first tonight? Don't turn over the ball.
Yeah, like, be smart, right? Mm-hmm. Be smart with the ball. I would say keep getting Holmes involved. They've done a little bit better job the last two games, and right now he leads the NBA in true shooting percentage.
That's
like,
Rashawn
and
Holmes.
If you look at his shot chart, it's where he had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 spots that he shoots from, and they're all green. So, like, but I think a lot of, like, we've seen it in games where this team kind of has a problem when they don't involve him, because, again, it leads to packing, right? Like, everyone just needs to do their job. And
this would be a good game for Damian Jones, by the way, as I'm thinking about who they're going to have to face down low.
Uh-huh.
A game for Damian Jones if they want to give him some run.
And if they're, I mean, and realistically, and with Davis, some of this length, you might be in foul trouble too. Like, you're probably going to need.
Probably will. Yeah.
Like, you're probably going to end up needing everybody. Hopefully not, but you might.
Yeah. Plan accordingly.
But come out, set the tone. My big thing, don't let them set the tone, because then you're going to give them confidence. And that's the last thing you want to do. to this team right now that is having troubles,
reeling.
You know, like you, like we did
like me Detroit, personally,
right? Because that's the thing is we blew out Detroit, but we blew them out in the first quarter. We only outscored them by 3 points for the rest of the game. So, I mean, it was outside the first quarter, it was a close game. So again, like as much as we were like, hey, it was a blowout, like similar to what teams have done to the Kings, right? Where we got and some of our losses where we've been completely blown out in the first quarter and then we're never able to catch up the rest of the game. But they didn't blow us out for the rest of the game. It was just that initial. So come out, do that.
Played and
do
sustained
that to
it.
Them. Like, you know what I mean? Make your presence felt. Be physical because they're going to be physical, especially, and you know, Pat Bev, like, so yeah, just smart with the ball, keep involving Holmes. And hopefully he, you know, he doesn't get in foul trouble. I want to see the assist that happened last game, between there, you had Fox, Halliburton and Mitchell all with over 5 assists each.
Mitchell and Beverly, by the way, in this game at some point that could happen. Just because they're both running backup point.
That could be.
That's
could
exciting.
Be fun.
That'll be fun.
But yeah, so move the ball. Mm-hmm. I thought that was huge that that's something that, you know, they were really lacking was, you know, the assist percentage and the three of them actually all having good assist game. And I know a lot of that's based on guys making their shots, but if you can put yourself in good situations and get that, then.
Again, I hate saying it. Because they haven't earned it, but it's a winnable game on the road. A team
don't beat
that,
yourself, right?
That,
don't
yeah,
beat yourself.
We'll beat you if you beat yourself. And they're good defensively. They have high volume scores. I expect this to be a close game. I figured if they beat Detroit, which I didn't want to say it, but I figured they would. I figured they would beat them by a good amount, which is what happened. Mm-hmm. If they win this game against Minnesota, I don't expect it to be by a lot. I expect it to be a close game.
Well, and that's my thing is like, we thought there might be, I don't want them to have like some inflated, which we've seen in the past when they come out and blow out a team, like you blew out a team for one quarter, but then you didn't blow them out for the rest. And I know that's unrealistic, like, but we've seen a pattern with this team when they actually come out, right? Charlotte come out and put on a good game that they all of a sudden show up kind of like lame duck the next game. Like, you know, it was just going to be handed to them. And that should never be the case in the NBA. So.
Yep. And
Is, we'll keep saying these are the kind of games that you need to win if you want to be there at the end.
Yeah. We'll probably say it the whole year, honestly, even if they do start winning a lot of them.
Every game will be that game.
Yeah.
But it's true. Yep.
The good news is if they do succeed and play well, talk about like potentially having a letdown the next game, they at positive though. They don't play at noon on Friday or 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
They play at the normal 7 o'clock Friday night time. And they've done well in that slot this year. That's when they destroyed Charlotte was at that time on Friday at home. So.
Yeah. No and I games. Know. Yeah. And I know we said, obviously we wanted like the 3-1 for a road trip. Like that would have been a dream. Right. But again, in the NBA, anytime you can get a 500 road trip, like that's good. So if you can,
and they have a chance,
I mean, if you're coming back under 5 against this, like that's rough.
Let's not even think about that. We won't even put that out. Retract that from the universe.
500 on the road trip. 500 on the road trip.
Take that back.
Put it out there.
Yeah. Put that out there. The previous statement, take it back. All right. Well, come back and join us on Friday, guys. We are going to have what should be no pressure on him, but it should be our funniest Friday show because he's a comedian. He's a stand-up comedian. He has a podcast. He's a writer. And he's very versatile as this man and a huge Sacramento Kings fan. I don't know if he's a Sacramento native. I can't say that for certain, but he's been in Sacramento for a while.
I think he is. Yeah,
I think so.
We'll double check, but I think
we'll double check. Johnny Taylor Jr. will be joining us on Friday to talk Kings. I'm sure we'll recap the Minnesota game, talk about the Raptors, just pick his brain for how he feels about this team. He's always usually tweeting funny things about the Kings when he does mention the Kings. So come back and listen to that on Friday. Thank you for listening. We will see you on Friday. Slater, dudes.